Oh, such a clutch off-season pickup, Dave.
I know, right? I was worried we'd bring back the same team.
Oh, no, I meant those blackout motorized shades. MVP of the room.
Blinds.com made it crazy affordable to replace our old blinds.
Hard to install?
No, it's easy. Even you could do it.
Nice.
I installed these and then got some for my mom, too.
What, you fly across the country to do the install?
Nope. Blinds.com can do it all. All she had to do was pick what she wanted. She talked to a design consultant for free and scheduled a professional measure and install.
Look at you, Hall of Fame son.
Oh, I just picked the winning team. They're the number one online retailer of custom window coverings in the world.
Oh, Blinds.com is the GOAT.
The GOAT.
Shop Blinds.com right now and get up to 40% off select styles, plus a free professional measure and a 100% satisfaction guarantee. Save up to 40% at Blinds.com. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
Head to Safeway this week for these amazing deals for their members. USDA Choice Boneless Beef Tri-Tip Roast, Untrimmed Twin Pack, just $4.99 per pound. Signature Farms Boneless Skinless Chicken Breasts, Thighs or Wings. Buy one, get one free of equal or lesser value when you buy two. Progresso Soup, 18 to 19 ounce selected varieties. Buy two, get four free when you buy six. Visit Safeway.com for more details. See you in the aisles.
Hi, I'm Josh Fink, owner of Nick's Menswear. Your wedding is a day you'll remember forever. And your fiancé? Your fiancé deserves a suit that feels just as special as the moment you say I do. At Nick's, we've dressed over 20,000 wedding parties, and we specialize in helping weddings own their suits for about the same price as a rental. That means not only will your fiancé look amazing on your wedding day, but we'll have a suit that can be worn for years to come. Let us make this the easiest and most meaningful part of planning your wedding. Nick's Menswear, your friend in style.
12:36, your time check, the Lindus Construction time check. Time to get $500 off your insulation project. Call for more details. I'm honored to welcome now Danielle C. Davis to the show. Danielle is the director of the Body Donation Program at Ohio State University's College of Medicine, where she plays a critical role in managing the morgue and the cadaveric dissection program, from overseeing donor registration and intake to preparing and distributing cadavers for dissection courses. Danielle ensures that each contribution advances medical education and research. Also a licensed funeral director and embalmer with 15 years of experience, she brings both expertise and compassion to her work, honoring the legacies of those who chose to make this extraordinary gift. Joining me now on the John Schuster Coldwell Banker Hotline, Danielle Davis. Danielle, thank you so much for joining us today.
Oh, thank you so much. It's such an honor to be able to speak with you.
Well, this is something I find fascinating because, again, a lot of people, when they're planning the end of life, many of us just think, oh, is it cremation or is it, are we burial? What else
exactly
could be done? And the fact that people can donate and probably should donate their bodies to science, I think people think about that in a very fringe way, but it's so much more important. And can you talk to us a little bit about that? How prevalent is it? Are there enough people doing it, or are we really still struggling?
Yeah, so we are always looking for donors, and that sounds kind of morbid and macabre, but as you mentioned, our donations are so critical to our teaching of medical students, dental students, anatomy students. And so, while it's becoming more prevalent in the United States, we have about 120 anatomical programs in the U.S. We're always still looking for donors to contribute.
When people do contribute, what all is involved in doing something like that? And how many fiery hoops do we have to jump through? Does our family have to jump through? Because obviously I want to make my end of life as easy as possible for my family to deal with.
Most definitely.
Yeah.
Oh my goodness. Of course, my puppy decides now is a good time to
sure,
tell the song of her people.
tell her I'll be happy to interview her in the next segment.
Right, okay. Exactly. So what's great about a lot of these programs is that we do cover all the expenses. So once an individual is donated and brought into our program, there's no cost to the family. So we do always ask that people pre-register for the program. That's usually just filling out some paperwork, making sure that their wishes are known. But generally speaking, it's pretty easy.
Now, is this something, if I have like on my my ID that I'm a donor, take whatever you can use from this portly form that I have, use it. Do you still want the body, what's left over, if I've donated my heart, lung, eyes, whatever? Is that something that is still important for these programs?
So every program is a little bit different. With ours, unfortunately, it is mutually exclusive. So if you donate heart, lungs, so on and so forth, you wouldn't be qualified for donation. Now, that's not the case for all programs, but it is for ours. However, you know, we certainly do encourage folks to pursue organ donation. We think that's so, so important, and I certainly don't want to discourage someone from, you know, going that route.
Right, and I think that's an important element because obviously we need those donations as well. But there
exactly.
there are a lot of people right now, Danielle, and I don't mean this to sound macabre, but there are a lot of people who at the end of life are in a really awkward position because, you know, as I found out 8 years ago when my mom passed away, my grandparents had purchased four plots, side-by-side plots. And when my mom had passed, or was about to pass away, we went to the funeral home. He said, "Do you already have a funeral plot?" We're like, "Yes, it's already paid for. This is done." He showed us the coffins, the cost on the coffins. And we're like, "Okay, great." And then he handed us the bill. And my dad and I just sat there and our jaw hit the ground. And I went, "Holy cow, 30 grand? I said, "We already own the plot." He goes, "Oh, right. But it still cost $12,000 to break ground, plus then the concrete you know, internment casing, then the burial, then this, then that." And talk about junk fees that are added on you don't expect. And my dad and I just sat there. My dad's like, "Whatever it takes." And I said, "Well, let's talk to mom." And I went back and talked to mom. She'd rather be cremated, and all said and done was out $3,500 as opposed to $35 just for the burial. And we made those decisions as a family. But, you know, had I not had a chance to speak to my mom before that, I don't know what would have occurred. I guess we would have just gone through with the old-fashioned burial. But in this case, you know, like when I go, I don't care. Donate my body to science. Donate it to the aquarium. Whatever, wherever I'm going to be the most useful, put me there. I don't want my kids and family to have to spend inordinate amounts of money after they're already facing this loss, dealing with the stress and pressure of losing a loved one. And, you know, if my body and my health or lack thereof can help advance science in any way, shape, or form, that'd be great. Now, I know there's some concern because we hear weird stories every year about bodies that have been donated or, in some instances, in even at funeral homes that have been discarded or treated poorly. And I think that's part of what makes people fearful of these situations. So I would guess dealing with the colleges directly in these type of programs, that is a much more secure avenue.
Most definitely. You know, unfortunately, you know, Harvard just came out in the news recently, and you're thinking an institution like that would surely have all their ducks in a row, so to speak. But, you know, it's something that we there's no legislation nationwide. So a lot of it is left up to each individual program. However, there is a big push to have those, you know, systems in place to make sure that we are honoring the individual. I mean, it's such an incredible gift and something that we certainly don't take for granted. So I think it's really important that, you know, people not only know this is an opportunity, a very cost-effective opportunity, as you note, but also one that's going to be treated with, you know, the respect that it deserves. And, you know, part of that education is what I'm really passionate about, making sure that people know that, you know, there are just so many different alternatives, as you noted, to the $30,000 burial, which, as a recovering funeral director, I totally get it. So
out of curiosity, let's say I don't have anything written out properly about my end of life wishes and I pass away. Can my body be donated? Can my wife make that decision? Do I have to have had a directive already written up? What information can you give us about that?
Yeah. So in our program, we do the prearranged donation, meaning that the donor themselves, you know, reaches out and says, "These are my wishes." We also do what's referred to as a next of kin donation, meaning that the family recognizes that, "Hey, my loved one, this is something they would like to do," or, you know, realistically, from a financial sense, it makes, you know, better idea to go that route, so that we do have that opportunity. Again, it's going to vary from program to program. For example, a couple in the state of Ohio, you have to be pre-registered. But Like I said, we try and accommodate, you know, all of those wishes, not only because of the need for our students, but also to honor those wishes. Things happen. Things, you know, come up and are unexpected, or maybe dad passed quicker than, you know, they anticipated. So we certainly want to do everything we can to honor those wishes.
Well, if it helps, Danielle, my wife just texted me and said that you could just take me now. She said, "It's I'm really become expensive anyway, so I don't know if you guys house me until that time or how that works. But let's take a quick break. When we come back, I just would like to explain a little bit, maybe to give people a little bit more of a sense of comfort and understanding. Once a body is donated, what exactly happens? And then afterwards, what is done with the remains? We'll talk about that when we return. Danielle Davis, our guest, right here on the John Schuster Coldwell Banker Hotline. When we return, News Talk 830 WCCO. Welcome back to the program. Chad Hartman's off. Dave Schrader filling in. Danielle Davis, our guest, the director of the Body Donation Program at Ohio State University College of Medicine. We're talking about an opportunity for people. Again, the funerary expenses are off the charts when it comes to that. But I think a lot of people then are curious. So if Dave Schrader passes away today, I've made an agreement with you to take my body. Is there still a wake? Is there still a funeral-like process and then you take the body after that? And once the body is taken, what happens from that point?
Sure. So, well, as I always say to my potential donors, we don't want to see you anytime soon. So I just want to make sure the universe knows that we don't want to see Dave Schrader anytime soon.
Thank
but
you.
With that said, we, with our program, and again, I can only speak to ours, but we unfortunately don't have an opportunity to do like a traditional showing or viewing ahead of time. That's not to say that funeral homes can't set up just a very simple goodbye, so to speak, where no embalming takes place, but the family still gets, you know, a chance to see their loved one. And again, you know, other programs may be a little bit different. But then once the individual is in our care, we perform, in most cases, just a very traditional embalming, just like they would at a funeral home, followed up by a little bit additional preparation, just because our donors can be in the program for up to 2 years. So we really try and, you know, make the most out of every donation that we get.
What do you mean they're in your program for up to 2 years?
Yeah, I know it sounds a little strange, right? So most of our programs concern, you know, anatomical studies. So our future doctors, dentists, they work with that same donor for 1 to 2 years. So they're really getting to know their first patient, so to speak, studying the anatomy, studying maybe not the pathology of why the person passed away, but just, you know, still getting a sense of the basic human body. And then once that's been completed, then we do perform the cremation at no charge. And we also do have a memorial service every year for our donors.
Now, if the cremation takes place, are those cremains returned back to the family, or is that something that's done a different way?
Yeah, so we have two options. We can either return the cremated remains to the family or send them directly to a cemetery, whichever the family would prefer. Or we also do have a mausoleum space where we can keep those cremated remains for the family.
So this is truly a great way to take care of your funerary expenses, help advance science and medicine, and still end up with the remains of your loved ones. But knowing that that person, that loved one, has gone on in even the afterlife helping others and being an answer or at least a new advancement towards understanding medical issues.
Most definitely. And, you know, as a funeral director and just as someone who has lost someone themselves, you know, 2 years is a long time to wait to get those cremated remains back. It's that sense of closure that we try and you know, search after, so to speak.
Sure.
And so we're very sensitive to that. But that's part of the reason that memorial service every year is so moving. We've got all these donor families that come together, have that sense of community, you know, and are able to share their very unique grief.
That's beautiful. What a great way to do it, and what a great way to help. Now, when these bodies are being worked on, are they simply for students to learn anatomy, learn to do these things? Are we looking at different ways to preserve internal organs? What all is the science that goes into the work that's done after the fact?
Yeah, so I would say a majority of our students learn from the donors via the study of anatomy, so the basic structures whether it's the bones or the muscles, tissues, nerves, anything related to that. We do also have some programs where maybe there are surgeons that are looking to try a new surgical technique. So that would be a slightly different preparation method for those donors, but still, you know, helping surgeons who maybe have been doing this for a long time but want to try out a new technique to give them that opportunity.
One of the listeners hits us up on the stylesfinancial.com talk and text line. And folks, if you're listening and have a question, you can call in or text at 651-461-9226. Listener says, did I miss it? Is there an age limit?
Oh, that's a great question. There is no upper age limit. So with organ donation, for example, there are some age limits. You have to meet certain criteria, like where you pass away. But with body donation, really, as long as you don't have any communicable diseases, such as hepatitis, HIV, anything that could be transferred from person to person, doesn't matter why you pass away, we're able to move forward. So there's a little bit more flexibility with whole body donation.
Fantastic. Now, if people are listening, and obviously there are programs like this, are they in every state?
Just about. In Minnesota, there is the Mayo Clinic has a program, as well as the University of Minnesota. Ohio in itself, gosh, I think has 7 or 8 different programs. Although from state to state, sometimes it's governed by a statewide board as opposed to like an individual university. But if you just search, you know, body donation in Google and your location, that should pop right up. And of course, I'm always, you know, happy to answer questions. Whether you're in Ohio, Minnesota, Wisconsin, wherever you might be.
All right. That's, again, great information, great opportunity for people to reexamine another way and an affordable way. Because, again, like
most
you said,
definitely.
You guys end up taking care of all of those expenses and even the mm-hmm. cremation so that within 2 years you'll get those remains back. And for me, like, you know, obviously, I love my wife. She just said to me during the break, if, you know, I would do this. I would totally do this. So we will be contacting
sure.
The Mayo Clinic here in Minnesota to make arrangements for both of us. And,
sure.
You know, whether I get her remains back a day later or 2 years later, to me, it doesn't matter. They're coming back to me.
Yeah.
And, you know, that's all that I really care about in the long run. And just knowing that there is a way to help people avoid those overwhelming and sometimes backbreaking expenses and do
exactly.
something that's going to really help further the education for science and medicine is fantastic. Danielle, I applaud the work that you're doing and
you.
Keeping this out there. So thank you very much for joining us and sharing some insight. Any other last minute things you want to mention to me that maybe I haven't asked?
No, I just think you know, I'm so glad for this opportunity. Like I said, a lot of what I do is education and making sure that people even know this is an option, especially, as you mentioned, the financial constraints that so many people are facing today. You know, we healthcare costs are rising. Maybe we don't have insurance. You know, there's a lot of different variables. So I just encourage, you know, regardless of the route that you go, burial, cremation, donation, just, you know, be an educated consumer, make those phone calls and ask the questions.
I think my wife's just relieved that she doesn't have to try to figure out how to stuff me in a garbage bag and drag me out to the end of the curb on Wednesdays now. Makes it a lot easier.
Probably.
Danielle, thank you so much for joining us and spending some time here. Is there a website people can go to, a national website, a registry, anything?
There isn't anything national at this time, but like I said, if you just Google your location and body donation, you know, programs should pop right up.
Fantastic. Danielle C. Davis, the director of body donation program at Ohio State University College. Educate yourself, folks. Go out there, get some information. Look at this because I don't know about you. This relieves a lot of pressure off of my shoulders because thinking, boy, I don't want to put this on my family. And yes, I have life insurance, but I would much rather that that life insurance money goes to my family to help them keep the ship floating while they can. That to me is an important.
Do you believe you are wrongfully terminated for speaking up against your employer? Wilshire Law Firm isn't afraid to go up against corporate giants and will protect you every step of the way. Get justice and feel safe. Call the experts at Wilshire Law Firm at 1-800-800-3333.
Hi, am Kelly Corrigan. You've probably never heard of me. Maybe you did. I wrote some New York Times bestsellers. I gave a TED Talk. But the reason I'm in your ear now is to invite you to listen to Kelly Corrigan Wonders. We talk to everyone from Bono to Amy Schumer, Spike Lee to Rainn Wilson, Krista Tippett and Bryan Stevenson about purpose, creativity, well-being, and what makes life worth living. Follow and listen to Kelly Corrigan Wonders on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Part and knowing that I'm going to give that relief.